Hello and welcome to The Preservationist, the monthly radio show for fans of local historic architecture, the history of unique buildings, and the people from our community working to preserve and restore them. I'm Astronomus Ray, the president of the board of directors at Lower Columbia Preservation Society, LCPS, and the host of The Preservationist. On today's episode of The Preservationist, we are exploring the rich history and the ongoing efforts of maintaining the Astoria Riverfront Trolley. I am thrilled to have with us some special guests from the Astoria Riverfront Trolley.
I'm Frank Kemp. I've been with the trolley since about 2010, and I oversee the maintenance on the trolley.
I'm Bob Kyle. I was on the original team to do electrical work when they brought the trolley to town, and I've been privileged to be with it ever since.
And I'm Bill Montero, and I've been with the trolley since 2018 after I retired. And I do bookkeeping work, and I do some of the work with Bob on the electrical and general maintenance on the trolley and the tracks.
And you're all volunteers?
Yes.
Wonderful. So what originally drew you to the Astoria Trolley?
Well, with me, it was a work assignment, kind of. My boss, Rod Gramson, was a terrific guy, volunteers a lot of stuff through the community, crab festival, electrical stuff and stuff. So he sent a team down with the trolley, and I was just so impressed with the way everything came together. It was, you know, who would have thought that a little tiny town like this could put such a monumental effort together to restore this machine built in 1913. And just the people there, it was just such a great experience. And so I've just continued. If they've ever had an issue on, you know, we had some comical events over the years. Out of 2.5 decades, it's hard to believe that we're still here and still functioning, and it looks like we're going to have a better year next year.
Yeah, and, you know, to kind of build on that, you know, the general history of the trolley is it was brought here to Astoria, and it wasn't in the best shape, but there was local volunteers here who wanted to really work hard to preserve this trolley. Do you guys know any of the history of background of that?
Well, Bob was down there at Mertz redoing it for that, year and a little over a year. Mm-hmm. So you ran into a lot of the people. But we want to stress during this time that of this interview that this is a community trolley. It's had community backing from the beginning, and it continues to have community backing, notwithstanding the backing from the city of Astoria's Public Works Department.
Can you tell me a little bit more about the beginnings of the Astoria Trolley and what its original purpose was?
Well, not being part of that committee that originally did that, I'm not sure what the allure was or how it came together, but obviously it was a project to help unite the community for one thing, but I'm sure that they envisioned that it would be a wonderful attraction for tourists and to be able to spread our message a little bit about what a community we have here. And obviously give people that come to town an easy diversion, and being along the riverfront, we could highlight all of the wonderful events and places and museums and stuff that we have here.
This trolley has been running for quite some time. It's been 25 years. Mm-hmm. 25 years. So with that being said, over time, I imagine that there's a lot of maintenance that needs to be done and repairs. How is it that the trolley can stay in such a good condition during this time? What does it take to continue to have this beautiful trolley? What type of work do you guys have to do on it to maintain it?
Well, it's a twofold operation. It's the trolley itself, but it's also the right-of-way, the tracks that we run on. We like to say if it wasn't for the tracks and the city's involvement in the preservation of those, we would have an expensive gift shop. So that's a big part of our operation, and we're very gifted with the volunteers we've gotten over the 25 years of the skills they've brought. Bob, with his electrical skills to get it moving. Right now we have a track crew that's led by two people that have extensive railroad experience, and coupling with the city, they have been able to keep us. Let me just mention that ODOT, the Oregon Department of Transportation, inspects our tracks every year. They inspect our trolley at least once a year, and we've been able to keep up with all of the defects that they have found on a yearly basis. because of these people that are dedicated to go out and do the repairs.
And you guys are kind of, in a sense, a committee. Do you guys meet regularly, or how does that work?
We have an operations and safety committee that meets monthly. We have a five-person committee that does, and we also have a seven-person board that the committee pretty much reports to, and the board oversees the whole operation. It's called the Riverfront Trolley Association.
Right, and you have all been volunteering with the Astoria Riverfront Trolley for some time now. What are some of the projects that you've worked on in your time?
Some of the projects, there's just so many. Obviously, the track, as Frank mentioned, was probably the one of the most important things we do out there. And so during the winter months when we're down, we have to make sure that before we start running in March, that the brush is cleared off the tracks and cleaned up and all the debris is removed from the tracks. And then all the repairs that ODOT came in and requested that we do on the tracks or the crossings have to be accomplished as well. And usually we have a team, or the city is subcontracted to local contractors to do that work. And then as far as the trolley goes, all of us participate in either repainting the trolley, repairing broken seats, broken parts. Obviously, there's engine repairs that have to be made to the trolley to make sure, for the generator that powers it, to make sure that it's running. And then just general sprucing up of the trolley.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what type of engine is it? How old is the engine?
Well, at the moment, and for the last 25 years, we have a diesel generator that puts out 480 volts, and we convert that to the 600 volts DC that the trolley runs on. But we are in the process now of converting to a battery. So hopefully we'll be able to run next year with no smoke or noise and not have to worry about changing oil and that sort of thing. On an ongoing basis, while we're running, Frank does most of the work, make sure that the brakes are adjusted properly weekly, checks all of the controllers and stuff daily before the trolley moves, and all the light bulbs are in place and that sort of thing. So just the day-to-day stuff occupies quite a bit of his time.
So what does that look like when you're working on it? What is your schedule?
Yeah, I'm down there probably 4 or 5 days a week just to look in. Right now I'm checking for leaks in the roof of the barn. But I want to stress that I'm not a trained mechanic. I've learned on the job when I got here, and there are three or four different people here in town that drop what they are doing and come and fix it. That's happened overnight at least 4 or 5 times since I've been here. The trolley broke down during the day. They've come down during the night. It's been fixed and gone out on schedule the next day. So as I adopted the title of maintenance coordinator, and pretty much that means that my Rolodex has everybody in it that I need to call to do the stuff that we can't do.
Yeah, and what does that look like with, your maintenance? Is there any common issues that occur often? Like you mentioned, maybe water. Is water damage a common issue that is faced? Because we live in Astoria, it rains a lot. Is there any common issue that or challenges that come up with the trolley pretty often?
Well, principally, it's always been our rule that if it's raining, we don't take it outside because it, even though it's well-engineered and well-maintained, it does have some fragility, that's the way to say it. Initially, it had windshield wipers. We took those off right away, not to tempt people. So.
And looking at the evolution of the trolley, how has it changed since you first began? Obviously you said windshield wipers was the first thing. Is there any other unknown things that was a part of the trolley?
Well, it's kind of funny now, but when it came to us, there was heaters under every seat. And it didn't take long for us to decide those didn't need to be there. People would drop gum wrappers and things inside, and you'd come in and it would be smoky. So those were eliminated, and then we changed some of the lighting over to something more modern, easier to maintain, and we added a PA system and all the little things that, man, there's too many to count now.
And how did those changes come up? Is it just evolving with the time, or is it from trial and error?
A lot of it is from that, but also a change in personnel. For instance, we got a radio show host from Portland, Bob Miller, came on board here some years ago, and that sparked the better PA system, which I have to admit was a great improvement. And that was a challenge, but things like that. So it's a lot of the stuff has come about by our volunteer-based change. And right now, this last year, we had 30 volunteers to run the trolley, anywhere from one time a month to lots of times a month. Yeah, I would guess that was what has brought about the changes, the different personnel we've got both in maintenance and in running the trolley. And we task the people that run the trolley that if there is anything that is out of the ordinary that they didn't know in training, they bring it to our attention. They leave a note, they call, so that before the next day, it can be addressed.
And looking at that, you guys have 30 volunteers. That's pretty good, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really good. So what is the volunteer roles that you guys have with the association? What can you do to be a part of the trolley?
Call the Chamber of Commerce. They are our, and we need to give them a big shout out because they are our answering service. And that's a huge thing. And then that information is transferred to the trainers, and we set up a schedule, and we start them between the barn and Portway, if you know the port area down there, one-on-one to learn the mechanics and try to get the motor reflexes down for the brake, because it's not normal to brake and start with your hands. And once that goes, why we take them all the way until they are proficient at stopping at the correct stops, know the route, go through all of that.
So you guys hand train each volunteer that wants to be a part of that?
Correct.
Wow, that's very impressive.
There's our main guy.
Yeah. They do have to be certified. So and it's some people get it right away because they've operated, you know, large vehicles before, but a 40,000-pound machine, stopping it, it takes a special skill set. And then starting the trolley without jerking and then, again, slowing it down is really important. And, of course, the other side of that is the narration part, because you not only act as a motorman or driving the trolley, you actually act as a tour guide as you're going down the three-mile track. So they have to learn the history, or maybe they already know it. They have to learn the history of the area and then a way to convey that to the passengers in a kind of an amusing and way down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then just to circle back, are you guys all from Astoria? Were you, like, how long have you lived in Astoria?
I think I'm the only native in the group here.
So you lived in Astoria your whole life?
My whole life. Of course, I went away for school and military and that sort of thing, but basically I lived here my whole life.
So you knew the history most of the point?
Seemingly, I remember it differently than sometimes it's told.
Yeah. Yeah. So what type of attractions do you mainly try to highlight history-wise when you're doing tours?
Well, it's up to each conductor to come up with their own script. Mm-hmm. We have a script to give them an idea, and we very much encourage them to ride the trolley before they complete their training, while they're in training, to just pick up hints, not only in running the trolley, but also in what they talk about. But it's pretty varied. People pick their favorite things to talk about, and according to what we read on Yelp and the other social places, I think we're doing an okay job.
And what is each one of yours favorite part to highlight when you're doing tours of the trolley?
I like the, I know it's a small thing, but cable TV was invented in trolley, in Astoria. And so, the tall white building is the old Astor Hotel, was where cable TV came from. And people would never figure that a small town with 10,000 people would be the home of that.
Yeah, that's news to me. That's amazing.
Yeah, that's the other good part is people never know if we lie because they they don't know any better. But no, it's...
That's a truism.
Yeah, and then what about for you? Any favorite part to highlight on the tours?
Well, most of the stuff I tell is believable, but I really like to let people know that Astoria is still viable and alive and tell them about how we've deliberately moved all of our marine activity down the port, and all of the old facilities are being repurposed into hotels and condominiums and merchandise opportunities. And of course, you always have an opportunity to joke a little bit about the Bowline Hotel was built. And then we had the issues when, unfortunately, Bowie Beer collapsed.
And Frank, what about your favorite?
Kind of, I like to talk about the river a lot and its impact on the city, why the city's here, obviously. The early history, and we have probably five or six good historical buffs among our volunteers that talk about the early days. But I enjoy that and the different businesses along the route that people are, while they're looking at them, to introduce them to the buildings that they now occupy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll return to our interview with Bob Kyle, Bill Montero, and Frank Kemp in just a moment. But first, I'd like to introduce my fellow board member, Eric Wheeler, to talk about the February LCPS Presents.
Thanks, Astronomus. Coming up on Tuesday, February 11th, the Lower Columbia Preservation Society continues LCPS Presents with a program titled Queen of the Coast, spotlighting the historic Liberty Theater, which celebrates its 100th anniversary this year. Our presenter is a regional filmmaker, journalist, and historian who has created a booklet that tells the story of the Liberty Theater and Astoria in the 1920s. Join us for this narrated PowerPoint program, Queen of the Coast, another monthly LCPS Presents at 7 p.m. on Tuesday, February 11th at the Pacific Distillery, located on Astoria's historic riverfront.
Thank you, Eric. Looks like a fun event. If you're just tuning in, I'm Astronomus Ray, talking with Frank Kemp, Bob Kyle, and Bill Montero about the Astoria Riverfront Trolley. What does your yearly schedule look like? So in the winter months, are we working on electrical sides, or what do you guys do during that?
Well, this year is going to be very different, but on a normal year, we keep very close track of what's going wrong during the operating year, and then that those are high priority during the winter, of course. And we stop running on Halloween. We've in the last couple of years now, we've been doing the Christmas trolley down from the Barbie Maritime Center, the old depot, down to 39th Street over one weekend. But for the rest of those months, everything from varnishing to major repair systems underneath. We're very fortunate. Our barn that was completed in 2002, I think, has a full-length pit that we can put the trolley over so that we can work down underneath it. But this year, I mentioned, it's a little different because of this battery coming on board. And so we're anxiously awaiting the arrival of that. But here's the battery guys here.
Mm-hmm. And now what is this battery's, what are the benefits of it? And when is it expected to begin? In March?
Two tough questions.
Yeah.
So we live in, 80 miles from Portland. So obviously getting anything done in Portland is pretty tough to set a deadline. But we anticipate getting the batteries in January, late January, and hopefully do an installation in February and March on our new trolley on Tram 30. And then the actual benefits you asked is, if you look at the trolley, you have the giant generator cart sitting in front of the old 300, which is the original trolley. And it's really hard for short people like me to see over the generator when you're going north on the tracks, or east on the tracks, depending how you look at it. And so the removal of that generator will really open up the view of that end of the trolley. The noise obviously conflicts, and we've had some complaints on the smoke. So that will be gone.
And what do you look forward to the most with this next trolley season coming up?
Well, it'll be interesting to get the new Tram 30 out. And we don't have a power source for it. We have to transfer. It's a long thing to try to transfer the generator over. So with this battery on board, it will first go on that tram, and we'll get that out. So we're looking at that as being for special runs. It's smaller, and it's not as easy to run, so it won't be on regular service to begin with, anyway, for this year. This will be a trial year for it. And so, as I said, that's our main focus in the next couple of months. Most of the work on Old 300 is done, preparing it for next year, so it's ready to go, pretty much. And so, yeah, now the focus is on the new tram.
Right, exactly. And if we were to compare the two, you know, what I know that's a lot to say, but what do you think the major differences and similarities are?
Well, Bob has a good saying, apples and oranges. And yeah, they're very different. It's open on both ends to the weather. A little bit about that tram is it was built in 1917 in Adelaide, Australia, and came to Portland in 1980 and unfortunately burned to the ground in 1981. In 2005, restoration was begun, and we got it here. When was that? We got it here a year ago, November?
About that, yeah.
A year ago, November, it was a donor decided we needed it, and it arrived in November, and we've been working on it since to make it viable for our operation.
So what type of work was needed to be done on it?
Well, it was in really good shape because it was all basically brand new. But because our operation was not typically a streetcar, we had to make sure that we could get people off and on safely, and that it was designed to go on the street, so it had brake lights and turn signals and stuff that we won't have to need here. So making those modifications and then just being prepared to be able to just set that battery in there and turn the key, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
You might think of it as a Tesla. You bring it back to the barn and charge it, and then you drive it, which is altogether a different concept than what we're used to. Frank's been rewriting the training manuals, and we've been trying to anticipate some of the things will come up once we start running. Different in a lot of respects. The 300, the one we're used to, is totally enclosed, 40-plus passengers. This one is much smaller, has four wheels. The 300 has eight wheels, different ride, different braking. So we're really looking forward to getting this little one on a track.
And that goes on the same track as the trolley's path then?
Correct.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, that's great. Are there any other projects that you guys have been working on with the trolley recently or the tram?
That's enough. yeah, it's a pretty full slate. There's a lot of little things that will be done between now and March, but we wouldn't be doing any of this without the support of the community and the city.
Mm-hmm.
So that's extremely important to us. Our relationship, when the track crew is out working, if you ever see the crew out working on the track, please stop and say hi. They really do like that. That's a great thing. They've brought cookies and all kinds of stuff. So it's a great part of our operation.
That is. That's really nice. Yeah, I'll have to remember that. So is there anything that you wish more people knew about the Astoria Riverfront Trolley?
Well, we're always hoping to get more people involved with the operation. I don't know how well that is publicized, but it's the world's largest electric train, if you're into that. And to be associated with that group of people is something that is rare. There's a genuine camaraderie there that you don't see often. So if any of you out there in the community are looking for a cause, come see us. It only takes 3 hours a month at a minimum. And
all the training is done by you guys,
yep.
Right? Yep. And then, let's see, what else about the operational side? What is the expectations? You know, let's say somebody is interested in wanting to be a part of it. What would you say to them to inspire them?
I would just say, drive by the barn, 480 Industry Street down there. If there's cars in the parking lot on the England side of the thing, stop in. We'll be more than happy to talk to you about anything. I probably give 6-8 tours a week of the barn because when I'm down there, I keep a door open. And a lot of people use the Riverwalk.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's just a big community thing that is very popular, and we are very grateful for the support we get.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The other thing, of course, is mm-hmm. if they're interested in joining us as part, you know, driving the trolley or being a narrator or whatever involvement they'd like to helping work on the tracks, they can always contact the chamber, and the chamber will route a call or an email to us.
Yep. Yeah, and you know, you guys all seem to have a big passion behind this trolley and the hard work that you put into it. It's a lot of hours, and it's a lot of time, and intricate work, very detailed. Is there any parting words that you want people to know about the trolley, or, you know, your experience, any fun stories that you wanted to share, thing that people just don't see on the day-to-day basis?
Well, I'm not sure how much of that we could actually share on here.
Yeah.
If you see the trolley on the track, wave. One of our things what we say on board is, if you want to get on the trolley, you don't have to wait at a stop, wave a dollar bill. Because if you just wave at the trolley, we will wave back and keep on going.
Anything else you'd like to share?
Just how much time a number of our volunteers put in. You know, we're talking about maintenance, but we're talking about merchandise acquisition. We're talking about Bill's financial work. We've got a couple of people that go out almost weekly during the season to mow the tracks, to do all that type of stuff that the city just doesn't have the resources to keep up with. And as I say, if you see us out there working on the track, say hi.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, is there any other parting words that you would like to say about the trolley?
No, it's just, you know, for me personally, it's just seeing the kids' smiling faces when they get to walk up the trolley and ring the bell and hear it go ding ding. It's mm-hmm. just amazing. Almost makes you want to cry. Yeah.
With very few exceptions, people seem to have a really good time when they're on mm-hmm. the trolley. Their first, if they're from out of town, cruise ship passengers, whatever, they're not quite sure what to think. They don't, no one's explained this isn't really a trolley stop to stop. This is, well, if you want to really get grandiose, you say it's an experience. Sometimes it's really an experience.
And I guess a parting word is ding ding.
Well, thank you for joining me today and sharing with our listeners about the Astoria Riverfront Trolley and how it's all volunteer powered. You guys put in so many hours, so much work and dedication to create something so beautiful for our community, and we appreciate that. Thank you to my very special guests for this month.
Bill Montero.
Bob Kyle.
Frank Kemp.
I appreciate you gentlemen being a part of the show today and talking about what it takes to really maintain the trolley. Thank you for tuning in to this month's episode of The Preservationist. We hope you tune in again next month. The Preservationist airs every third Tuesday of the month on KMUN at 9:30 a.m. To find out more about the Lower Columbia Preservation Society, LCPS, be sure to check out our website, www.lcpsociety.org, and connect with us on social media. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook. Thank you to my guests for this month, Bob, Frank, and Bill. I would also like to give a special thanks to the team here at KMUN, the staff, members, and volunteers of the Lower Columbia Preservation Society. Thank you to my fellow board member, Eric Wheeler, for sharing about LCPS Presents for February. And a special thanks to Camila Swerdloff for producing the theme song of The Preservationists. Thank you for listening to The Preservationists, and remember, anyone can be a preservationist. The Preservationist is a production of the Lower Columbia Preservation Society, written and produced for KMUN by Astronomist Ray. Until next time, I'm Astronomist Ray. Thanks for listening.